KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 23 degrees in Atlantic. We look for partly to mostly sunny skies today, a high of 48. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Well, J.M. Smucker Company is recalling thousands of 16-ounce jars of its Smucker's Natural Peanut Butter Chunky because of possible salmonella contamination. The product was distributed in Iowa, 23 other states, plus the District of Columbia. The jars covered in the recall would have been purchased in the last week or so, and they have the best if used by dates of August 3, 2012 and August 4, 2012, plus the product codes of 1307004 and 1308004. Smucker says 3,000 jars are being recalled from the stores. Another 16,000 never left the warehouses. No illnesses have been reported. I'll have a look at area news coming up next.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Adair's former city clerk and her son, a former street department employee, were sentenced this week to a little more than one month after they pled guilty to felony theft charges in connection to the theft of taxpayer funds from the city of Adair. Court records show 63-year-old Linda Nichols and her 41-year-old son Terry on Monday received 5 years probation and were ordered to make full restitution amounting to nearly $83,300 plus $6,000 for the cost of the state audit, additional court costs, and related fees. The amount is higher than the City of Adair's estimate of $80,000 but less than the $110,257 amount listed as improper in a special investigation report released by the Office of the Auditor of State on May the 3rd. Linda and Terry Nichols were also ordered to perform 100 hours of community service and submit a DNA sample. The pair had been sentenced to no more than 10 years in prison, but the sentence was suspended during Monday's court proceedings. On October the 3rd, Nichols has pleaded guilty in Adair County District Court to theft in the first degree, a Class C felony. As part of the plea, the charge of felonious misconduct in office was dropped. The auditor's report included the city's losses due to payroll taxes paid to the state, amounts that cannot be proven to have been stolen, and amounts that, after additional investigation, were proven not to be stolen. The special investigation had been requested by the City of Adair as a result of misappropriation of city funds and alleged improper and unsupported disbursements and undeposited collections. The Iowa State Patrol investigated two separate accidents Tuesday afternoon in Pottawatomie County. First happened at around 3:20 p.m. on Highway 92 southeast of Council Bluffs. 24-year-old Rachel Lammert of Silver City suffered minor possible injuries after the car she was driving rear-ended an SUV driven by 16-year-old Braxton Mitten of Council Bluffs. The accident happened after an unknown vehicle came to an abrupt stop on eastbound Highway 92 near Hearthstone Drive. Officials say another vehicle passed the stopped vehicle on the shoulder to keep from hitting that first vehicle. A separate vehicle managed to stop in time, and the vehicle driven by Mitten stopped before hitting the second vehicle. But Lambert was unable to stop and could not take evasive action because of the other vehicles on the roadway and on the shoulder. Both drivers were wearing their seatbelt. Damage from the accident amounted to $8,600. There were no citations issued. The second accident happened about 2 hours later on Interstate 80 in Council Bluffs. A 2010 Toyota Camry, driven by 24-year-old Amanda Harding of Plainfield, Illinois, was traveling east on I-80 in the center lane, crossing into Iowa, where I-29 southbound merges with I-80. An unknown semi merging into the first lane collided with the Camry, causing $6,500, but no one was injured. The semi failed to stop and was never located. Officials of the Southwest Iowa Recovery Network, or SWRN, say thanks to the generosity of the Iowa West Foundation, SWRN is now accepting applications to assist families affected by summer flooding. The additional resource may assist those with unmet human services needs and aid in reducing the suffering caused by the flooding and home displacement. Eligible families affected by the flood may receive as much as $1,000 to assist with their recovery, although actual amounts will vary according to need. In addition, applicants may receive valuable information and referral to other agencies and programs that may be able to assist with recovery planning. Requests for financial assistance should fall into one of these categories: housing repairs due to flood damage, temporary housing for relocation after the flood, child care during the immediate time after the flood due to relocation, personal items lost due to flooding, including transportation replacement or repairs due to flooding, mental health services, and items needed to fight household flooding. Those interested in the assistance should call SWERN at area code 712-435-5661 to schedule a phone or face-to-face meeting. It's anticipated that the funds will be distributed before the end of the calendar year. The program is funded by the Iowa West Foundation, administered by the American Red Cross, and supported by local long-term recovery committees in the affected counties. In a special tribute to American military troops, the American of Elkhorn shipped 112 care packages to soldiers serving overseas during a recent community event at the hotel that coincided with Veterans Day. The event was part of a nationwide Veterans Day initiative by American Hotels, resulting in the preparation and shipping of several thousand care packages to troops deployed in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other bases worldwide. The American of Elkhorn had a great turnout for Operation Care Pack event on November the 11th. The hotel packaged 112 boxes to send to troops. American staff, Blue Star mothers, local businesses, local organizations, and church members came to show their support and help out with the event. In each box, the hotel packed snacks, hygiene products, soups, magazines, cereal, and drink boxes. American hotels around the country reported that the gift box packaging events attracted participation from a broad spectrum of citizens and their communities, including many local businesses, student groups, Boy Scout and Girl Scout troops, church groups, retirees, and even competing hotel employees. Blue Star Mothers, a national troop support organization, also participated through local chapters. The last section of Iowa Highway closed by this summer's flooding along the Missouri River has reopened. The Iowa Department of Transportation spokesperson Dina Gray Fisher said yesterday that Iowa Highway 333 into Hamburg opened over the past weekend.
This project really did take quite a while. It was a kind of a complicated situation. One, the levee had to be removed from the highway. There was a railroad that was crossing the highway, and it actually was damaged as well. So it had to be reconstructed, and then the highway project.
Iowa 333 was closed in June as the floodwaters approached and remained in place for several months, badly damaging that highway.
The closure of 333 as well as Iowa 2 in that area really impacted regional travel a lot. It affected residents of Fremont County, Mills County, Nebraska residents, Missouri residents. Everyone in that tri-state area were impacted by this, and many people working between the three states had to travel a long distance out of their way.
Iowa DOT Director Paul Trombino said earlier this month that the cost to repair all of the roads and bridges damaged by the Missouri River flooding would be close to $50 million. He said all of it should be eligible for federal reimbursement as the repairs were made within the required 180 days after the flooding ended. Overall, in Iowa, three major river crossings and 77 miles of interstates and highways have been shut down due to the flooding. Legislation in the U.S. Senate seeks to avoid a repeat of what happened in June when farmers in Missouri and Iowa received letters from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers offering to buy their land just as the Missouri River was rising. Days before some of the letters were mailed, the Corps began releasing massive amounts of water into the river from storage reservoirs upstream. The Corps has said the timing of the letters was a coincidence and a mistake. The Corps has been acquiring land to rebuild wildlife habitats. Democratic Senator Clara McCaskill of Missouri has introduced legislation that would prohibit the Corps from sending such letters during a flood event. Missouri's other senator, Republican Roy Blunt, signed on as a co-sponsor. McCaskill described the letters as unbelievably inappropriate and rude. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, people are gathering near New York's Zuccotti Park to mark 2 months since the Occupy Wall Street movement began. Police with megaphones are telling protesters to stay on the sidewalk as they march toward the New York Stock Exchange. Protests are planned nationwide. The number of people applying for unemployment benefits has reached a seven-month low. The government said new applications dropped by 5,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted 388,000. It's the fourth decline in 5 weeks. Applications need to consistently drop below 375,000 to signal sustained job gains. And a man accused of firing shots at the White House is set to appear in court this afternoon in Pittsburgh. 21-year-old Oscar Ramiro Ortega Hernandez was arrested in Pennsylvania yesterday, 4 days after witnesses say a man pulled his car near the White House and fired an assault rifle. A window of the first family's living quarters was cracked but remained intact because it had ballistic glass. I'll have a look at the funeral announcements coming up next.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements, Devonna Sackett, age 84, of Fontenelle, died Sunday at her home. Funeral services for Devonna Sackett will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Fairview Congregational Christian Church in rural Stewart. The Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield is in charge of the arrangements. Mary Gazer, age 79, of Harlan, died Sunday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home in Harlan. A mass of Christian burial service for Mary Gazer will be held today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan, with the Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of arrangements. Don Thomas, age 93, of Council Bluffs, died Monday. Funeral services for Don Thomas will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Hoya Kilnoski Funeral Home in Council Bluffs. Doris Gipple, age 91, of Bridgewater, died Monday at the Adair County Hospital in Greenfield. Celebration of Life services for Doris Gipple will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Timothy Tim Tye, age 54, of Atlantic and formerly of Griswold, died Sunday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center, where he had resided for the past 4 years. Funeral services for Tim Tye will be Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Marcus Frank Gross, Sr., age 95, of Harlan, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A mass of Christian burial service for Marcus Gross, Sr., will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Daniel Page, age 61, of New Virginia, died October 23rd at his home. A Celebration of Life memorial service for Daniel Page will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Lois Roberts, age 86, of Bridgewater, died Tuesday in Algona. Funeral services for Lois Roberts will be this Sunday at 2 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Gladys Anderson, age 75, of Harlan, died Tuesday at Murtu Medical Center. Mass of Christian burial service for Gladys Anderson will be on Monday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Roland Raleigh Ackerman, age 97, of Sandpoint, Idaho, died Monday. Services for Raleigh Ackerman will be held at a later date. The Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Melvin Snyder, age 78, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Private family burial of the remains of Melvin Snyder will be held at the Quincy Cemetery near Carbon. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Evelyn Boyson, age 92, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services for Evelyn Boyson are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Paul Hokenstad, age 72, of Griswold, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Services for Paul Hokenstad are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Esther Russell, age 90, of Griswold, died Wednesday at the Griswold Care Center. Services for Esther Russell are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Frances Christensen, age 91, of Anita, died today at her home in Anita. Services for Frances Christensen are pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Anita. And Don Curry, age 81, of Messina, died today at the Veterans Hospital in Omaha. Funeral services for Don Curry are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. There's more news online at KJAN.com, including a podcast of last hour's local news. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.